Lord willing, we're going to be in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. So if you'll turn there. And again, we've been studying since the 5th chapter. Is this mic okay? Are we good with that? Okay, it's sounding funny. We've been studying since the 5th chapter the high priest Melchizedek and how that is the type of Christ. And again, throughout Hebrews, it just seems to get more exciting, and I pray the Lord's encouraging your hearts as well, too, about how it is getting better and better and better throughout the Word of God, throughout the study of Hebrews, how Paul, again, through the Holy Spirit's anointing, is giving more and more of that precious truth throughout this Word and throughout every chapter, every verse that we go to. And again, how I marveled from the study last week in touching on the verses, how he doesn't just do something for us. He does it abundantly. It's not just peace. It's perfect peace. It's beyond thoughts, imagination, even what you could ever even think of asking God does for you. Does for you. Does for everybody here. You don't even imagine how much he loves us and how faithful he is to our lives and how much he wants to give each and every one of us of the spiritual, which is the everlasting. That's the eternal. Of the spiritual, what he wants to give to us, if we'll only yield and accept. So again, just touching on a couple verses that meant so much in that 7th chapter. We read through it, but a couple of the verses again that somewhat culminated that 7th chapter was the 19th verse where it says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of that better hope." Let that live in us. Don't be hindered. Don't, by the grace of God, be the ones that ran well and who did hinder you. And that always comes down to self. It truly does. You can point, you can look around, you can do those things. But it really comes down to self and, more importantly, self-righteousness. That'll be the thing that'll trip you up in your life. I really do believe that. If there's something that steals from you, robs from you, it'll be the enemy working in your self-righteousness. So again, by grace. Then that 25th verse, let that be our, I guess, motto going into the 8th chapter here tonight. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Again, Christ doesn't just save. It's beyond, isn't it? Hallelujah. It is so beyond. The uttermost. And that's saving in every aspect of our lives. Any need you'll ever have. Anything that will ever come your way, Christ does it to the uttermost. And he wants to do that spiritually for each and every one of us here. He wants us to come to a full knowledge of him. He wants us to rule and reign jointly together with him. That's the offering of this age. That is the abundant grace. And by his grace, the faith to believe the promise that he has for us. So we'll begin in this 8th chapter. And I think tonight, Lord willing, we'll attempt to get through this. No promises. We'll just let the Holy Spirit take it. But we'll read the first 5 verses together and then we'll go back and study those. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer. And he did have something to offer, didn't he? Hallelujah. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. We'll go ahead and read the 6th verse as well, too. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. Oh, hallelujah. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And again, going back into that first verse of the 8th chapter. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Paul's saying here now, with all that's been said, with all the evidence I've given you through the Holy Spirit of the first 7 chapters, I'm going to sum it up. We have such a high priest. Oh, we have such a high priest. Hallelujah. Above beyond? Is this what Jesus is to you? Is He awesome? I used to not like that word, but as I've grown into the Lord, as He's grown me up in Him, I kind of like that word, awesome. Kind of like my little boy's word, way, too. But He's precious. He's always for us. Unending. He's uncorruptible. He's unfailing. He's ever loving. And that is our Jesus, isn't it? That's what He wants for you. Don't get caught up in the enemy's lies and deceit. You are everything to Him. This is the fulfillment. Again, we're going to be going back to Ephesians quite a bit. So again, I hope that encouraged you how our precious Brother Hill, so many times we were studying Ephesians. And it's so amazing to me how the Lord keeps bringing me back in this Hebrew study, right back to Ephesians, to the cross-reference points of what Paul's speaking about here in Hebrews, to really get this down. Hallelujah. But let's turn over to Ephesians 1:10, because this is the fulfillment of this verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, I mean, this is when everything's exposed, when everything's wrapped up, in the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even He is going to gather it all up one day, and it's all going to be in His Son. If you ever wanted to know what the meaning of life is, I think this verse could answer it for you, couldn't He? It's all in His Son. It's all wrapped up. I had that man on my heart that I had mentioned to you that met a couple weeks ago, very successful gentleman. And he said, how could that infinite God that is so great, that's stringing the universe and it just keeps expanding, how could He even think of us? We're so insignificant. The Word of God tells me that every thought of His is of me. Every thought of the I Am is of you. And I just marvel at that. I know we've talked about it many times through Hebrews. But how many times has He reminded us that it is all about us? That His plan is all wrapped up in His Son, which cannot be complete without a bride. Aren't you thankful you were born in this time? You hear about those ones, oh, I would have loved to see the Red Sea part and all those things. I see the Red Sea part every day. I really do. Come spend life with me. You'll understand what I'm talking about. You think sometimes you'll see our brothers or sisters. You say, oh, that person's got it all together or whatever it is. The ones that really have it all together know that their need is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know love when you see it. You'll know the ones that are really feasting at the table. Hallelujah. And sometimes, it can be bitter. It can be bitter, but the Lord knows for each and every one of us. And just trust Him so with it. Hallelujah. But again, that it's all wrapped up into us to be a part of this gathering. That we are all gathered together in Him. Isn't that precious? And again, we are seated together. Again, that together. So important. The Lord again has had it. And I believe it'll be on my heart. Hopefully, till He come. I really do believe it. The unity of the Spirit, the love of God, running rampant in our hearts for one another. Pray for one another. Call each other. It's a precious thing. The Lord put somebody on your heart, give them a call. Let them know that the Lord's put them on your heart. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. But note here that Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, on God's throne, at His right hand. Means so many things. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Well, if I'm present with the Lord, this is right where He's going to have us. We're right there by the grace of God, already seated with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. But there's many wonderful things as well that come to mind on this. And I was thinking again of the thief on the cross. As he turned to the Lord there and he said, remember me. And the Lord said, to this day ye shall be with me in paradise. And how people have taken that paradise and made it something that it's not. It's so simple. Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of God. We just read about that. He's at the right hand of God. Four or five more times throughout the Word of God, you're going to see He's seated at the right hand of God. He didn't go off to a planet of somewhere or a place of nowhere. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Know where your Lord is. Know where you're seated together with Him in the heavens. Take our place. Hallelujah. But people talk about a paradise. People talk about a lot of different things. The Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. And that is where that thief went that day. Think about that. All he did was acknowledge. He didn't live a life of good works. Didn't live a life of a lot of things. But belief. Belief, belief. Hallelujah. And again, I so appreciate how Hebrews has already told us. We can go boldly to the throne of grace right now, can't we? We're already seated there. So why not go there? Hallelujah. Right to the throne of grace. Praise God. But again, this shows that Christ is in His place in heaven, as we've already read, always making intercession for us. And it's direct. Not as Aaron, again, of the Levitical priest, an earthly priest, but right in the throne room is where we go. The instant we call out His name, we are in the throne room. And over and over and over, the Word of God confirms that Christ's place is at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And if there isn't something that makes you joyous, I would say, think on these things. Hallelujah. And let's look at that again. Hebrews 12:2. This is where your wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. And even in Hebrews, again, the cross-referencing that we have. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's written this in your life. Believe Him for it. Who for the joy that was set before Him, again, that was you. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God for you. Ephesians 2:6. I told you where you are. Let's listen to where you are. Let's actually back up to verse 5, Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. We are together with Him. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't think it gets any clearer. Verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. That tabernacle in the wilderness was not the real one. It wasn't. It was just a type and a shadow of what was to come. It was just as Abram's continuing city wasn't of this earth, was it? No. His continuing city was in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven if you're a child of God. Do you realize that? You are more real in heaven than you and I looking at each other right now. You think you need to go to movies to see something that'll get your mind thinking of things that you can't understand. But it's true. Your place is in heaven. You are seated together with Him. Right now you are a son of God. Now live like it. Live like it. That's what He wants you to do. Live your inheritance right now. Right now you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. What else could there be but all? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? It's true. He wrote it. The Word of God is true. God cannot lie. We can be in unbelief, but He can't lie. I can feel that this isn't working in my life, but He wants it there. In the new creation, I have every access to that power. Every access to every promise in belief. But where do I stand? Am I standing on the promises of God? Is the Word of God being allowed to work effectually in me? These are choices that we make. It is true. But it's a choice of yielding. Belief. Belief, it's there. You're in the throne room the minute, as we've spoken so many times, the minute that you call His name, you're before God and His wonderful Son, who is there 24/7 making intercession for you. You have a need, He can deliver you. You have a request, He's already answered it. But do you believe Him for that? Something to think about. Hallelujah. But just like this world and everything we see in it, it's going to pass away. We're looking to the forever. The word minister means priest, absolute, sacrificed, and priest forever. We spoke about that just a moment ago in chapter 7, verse 25, where it says that He is able to save to the uttermost. And this is what this wonderful priest has done for us. The true sanctuary is heaven itself. And if you read chapter 9, verse 24 of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. All these, the Sistine Chapel, all of these different things. Temporal. Just building temporal. I'm so thankful He didn't have to enter into something that was built with my hands. It's forever. And He's entered there and He's preparing a place for us. He's still working on it today. I've gone to prepare a place for you. Hasn't entered our minds, our thoughts, our imagination what God has prepared for them that love Him. Don't be discouraged out there. You think you've gotten a bad hand dealt to you in life? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you got the best one you ever got. You got a royal flush beyond. I hate to use cards to do it, but unfortunately sometimes that's the way we are, huh? But I hope you understand what I'm trying to tell you here. You've got it all. You've got it made. You have got it made. The wealth of the ages. It's yours. This temporal of a nothing here. Remember that. Don't get caught into those things. Don't think, well, I wish I had that. I didn't have this. I don't have a car. I didn't have the parents I wanted. You know, I didn't have any direction or whatever. You've got all the direction you could ever want right here. And it can start today. It can start tonight in your life. He's new every day. Forgetting those things which are behind. Pressing, hallelujah, the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we're about. That's what, by the grace of God, this ministry has been about for so many years. I was writing something for precious brother Bill, and I was thinking, by the grace of God, we, as a people under His hand, will continue on. We're going to continue on by His grace. Hallelujah. We didn't come this far. I see that promised land right back there beyond that window. It's right there. And I'm running. I'm running. And I believe by the grace of God, we're running for it. I want to finish it with joy. I want to waste it. Hallelujah. And it's more real every day. It's given me a double portion of fresh air. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Running and a running. But the true sanctuary, again, is heaven itself. The priest in the heavens right now at the right hand of God. Nothing could be better than that till we're with Him. But the true tabernacle the Lord pitched. John 6:32. Turn there with me. It's John chapter 6, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And that is our wonderful Jesus Christ. This is He. He is the bread of life, the Redeemer, that ministers before God for us, our place of refuge when we enter beyond the veil into the throne room. That is our mighty tabernacle. Hallelujah. Is Christ Jesus in that holiest of holies. Verse 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer. Again, this is magnificent. This is no longer Moses ministering the law, which imputes death, which they had to sacrifice every year, which brought back to the remembrance again of your sins year after year after year. But now it's the gospel of grace an unlimited love. It's the new gift. It's the new gift that we're under. It's grace. It is grace all the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. No more remembrance of sin. Complete justification. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Whatever they wrote after that, and I can't even think about it right now. I know there's something after it. That was an afterthought, and cross that out. And you'll see in your Bible it is. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I always remember when I think it was in seventh grade, my choir teacher is a nice gentleman. He was a Christian and all that. And I remember after a month or so in school, you know how kids are. I'm going to die. Or he said something like that, you know, fall off a riser and die or something. I probably shouldn't have said it. But he said, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't you know that if you say things like that, it can come upon you? And I thought, oh, that's terrible. He says, well, don't you remember Job? He said, that which I fear has come upon me. And it was so precious. Right there, Romans 8:1. I said, man, there's no condemnation. I could say I'm going to die right now. Don't say that. And I was starting to bother him after a while. But you know how kids are. But sometimes we can pick on things. But there's no condemnation. Again, where you've been, what you've done, Lord doesn't even know. He forgot about it. He forgot about it. See a forgetfulness? Praise God, I've been thinking about that. How He loves us. What His Father sees in us. The new creation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So again, there's no more remembrance of sin. No condemnation to them that are in Christ. Verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. The priest had to ascend on high, as we read in Hebrews 9:24 earlier. He had to appear in the presence of God for us. We needed the mediator, we needed the intercessor, and we needed the advocate. We don't need anything else. I don't care what religion will tell you. We need nothing else. We now can go direct, which we'll read a little bit more about. But there was no expense spared for our confirmation of sonship, was there? Christ paid it all. Everything is in Him. Verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Christ is the substance and the end of the law of righteousness. There is no longer the pattern of Mount Sinai. There's no longer that pattern of law in our life. The pattern now is Zion. The pattern now is grace and love. That's your pattern. Now, is that the pattern being woven in our lives towards one another? Is that what our vision is? Is our vision something that's going to be condemning, judgmental? Or again, is the love of God's pattern in our life that we are living His love towards one another? Again, think of the Philadelphia saints. Think of those Philadelphia saints. Those are the ones that are spared from the tribulation. They're the ones that are seen ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. But that's brotherly love. The love of all saints. It's needful for the overcomer to encourage one another. That is truly the Christ-like. But Christ appeared into heaven to present our prayers and plead for us with His undying love. And with that, He is the perfect priest king. Verse 6. But now hath He ordained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Again, better, better, better. Now as we grow in Him, isn't that the way we feel and believe about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He is. He's better. He's beyond better. We understand that. But we're limited to these words. We're limited to really our thoughts, aren't we? I can only go divine when He's really dealing with me about stuff. And I love going divine. That's awesome. He's taken me. I had to lay down on that couch for a little bit today. I got a little bit weary from we were traveling around the last couple of days. But I was thinking, Now, Lord, if I just lay here and I shut my eyes, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Will you take me there and give me a little bit more of a vision? And I kept shutting my eyes and opening them like that. I play around with him every once in a while. But he knows I mean it. I'd love to be there. I'd love to be there. I believe he would too. It's awesome. He sure is sweet, isn't he? But he seized it. The excellent priest. He is the mediator between God and man. He cut out the middleman. I was thinking about that. Isn't that something? Or he's trying to cut out the middleman. That's what Sam's Club's about. Right? Some of those. Cutting out that middleman. Now we can go direct. It's a better deal, isn't it? All the savings too. He saved you to the uttermost. So isn't that precious? And it's unlimited in Christ. So he cut out the middleman so you could get the uttermost saving. Isn't that precious? I kind of like that. See, I can understand things like that. Remember clipping coupons when we were first married. And the covenant is a better promise, isn't it? It's a better promise, is that covenant. So look at that. That's a better guarantee. That's like an unlimited warranty. It's beyond that too, isn't it? But just to understand these things. And what was that built upon? What is it all based upon? The promise. And it's a better promise. And that's the product. So isn't that something how that is? He cut out the middleman. He gave us the uttermost savings. He gave us the guarantee, warranty of a product that is the best and greatest product there ever was. And that's grace. That does it all. Think about those things in your life. We could go on and on about that this evening. I don't want to take up too much time on that. But what He has done for you and me in that Son. You've got it made. You have every ability to win Him in you. And this is talking about the deep bridal things. It doesn't get any better than that. Everybody again in this world is looking for a better deal. I was thinking again how Roosevelt brought in the New Deal and how that was supposed to help and change and all that. I think in a lot of ways it's hurt a lot of things. That's another political conversation we could have. Don't like to talk about those things too much anymore. But everybody's looking for those things. But yet this is the deal. And if we'll only seize this guarantee and this promise, again, it's a free promise. It's freely given in the new man. It's wealth that will build greatness in your life. You don't feel very great, do you, sometimes? You get into this, this is greatness in your life. This is majesty in your life. This is something that will give you an heirship, joint heirship with the Creator of it all. By Him, all things consist and hold together. Whether it's this building, this wall, every law that we know of, whether it's gravity or I don't even know them all. But He's beyond all that. But that is who, by the grace of God, is not fulfilled till He has His bride. And that's what He wants to be part of. You're talking better? I said, Lord, as I was reading through this, couldn't we have a better word than better? But you know what? I do understand it in a sense. And He's leading us on with the better promise. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. And it could never be compared to anything. From Solomon's greatness to Rockefeller's greatness to Gates' greatness. These are just paupers. Do you realize that? Don't get caught up into looking at somebody else's stuff. Look at your own stuff. Look at your own stuff. And if you're in Christ, you can't even imagine all the stuff He's given you. Oh, it's precious. Get caught up in the forever. Don't miss it. Don't look at things that something else that the enemy wants you to get caught up in. Whether it's a house, whether it's in job or with a relationship, whatever it may be. Get caught up in the things of God. As we were reading about the other day in Sunday. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's where all that enemy stuff stems from. When I start thinking of my life and how dear it is, that's when I get off into things of materialism, selfishness, all of those things. Yet in Christ, in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Beyond. Live the greatness that you are right now in Christ. Hallelujah. 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless. Again, if this Moses, if what he brought was faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second? He's saying, now ye Jews, if these ceremonies and this law would have got the deal done, God would have left it alone. He's all knowing. He does things right. It's perfect. And I've had people mock it and say, oh, well, see, God isn't perfect. He messed it up. He had to change it. What foolishness. I'd be afraid to be saying that kind of stuff. I'm not kidding you. You don't know what you're saying. You're dealing with something. You're dealing with the power. I'm so thankful that I really learned through the grace of God so many years back and not to have a chip on my shoulder. I have the Lord Christ on my shoulder. But I'm the apple of His eye. And He watches over me. And you can't touch a hair of my head. You can't defeat me. You're not going to do that. And I'm not being arrogant about it. It's not being brash. It's standing on the promise of what God and what I am to Him. Let that be your strength. Enemy you face? There's no enemy there. It's His. It's His. Principalities, powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places? Nothing. If God be for us, who can be against us? Know who watches over you. But if it wasn't broke, there was no need to fix it. To go on to the best, something had to be done. To get God's best, something different had to happen. And it was grace. It was grace in His Son. It's how we grow as Christians. It's how we seize faith. Grace is how you seize faith. Realize that it's the grace of God. It's how faith is implemented into believing the great mystery that's in Christ. And that's the bride. That's the bride of Christ. Without grace, you will never see it. Without grace, you'll never enter into it. And more importantly, without grace, you will never believe. You will never believe about the bride of Christ. Do you realize that? The Bible says the way we grow is in grace and knowledge of our Savior. It's grace. It's not in keeping anything. It's not in being a certain type of person that we naturally think we may want to be or have to be or holy or I'm running around with a Bible. It's God working in you completely as a free gift, unmerited. And He can take you all the way in that. All the way. Hallelujah. All the way with Christ. Verses 8 and 9. For finding fault with them, He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But it was broke. It was weak. It was infirm. And it was never able to get that job done without the magnificent Lamb of God. The magnificent Lamb of God. And that's what you're going to see someday. You're going to see the Lamb of God. Who died and bled for us. Hallelujah. Who died and bled for us. Who came to die that we might live. Praise God. Oh, thank you. Schofield has a note here. If you have a Schofield Bible. It's actually on the next page. It's in parentheses number 8. It says the new covenant rests upon the sacrifice of Christ and secures the eternal blessedness under the Abrahamic covenant of all who believe. And I love this next part that he says here. It is absolutely unconditional. And since no responsibility is by it committed to man, it is final and irreversible. It's final and irreversible. I am so thankful that a precious brother Schofield saw the eternal security of the believer and was able to put it via the Holy Spirit like that to us. And if you read on in Roman numeral 2 there on Schofield's note, you'll see that Christ was the seed and final solution in all of the eight covenants. But God's promise to man is that it's all in Christ. And we're going to go back to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Wherefore remember, now this is us, that ye, he's speaking to us right here, in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's each and every one of us. Boy, that's pretty destitute. You had no hope without God. You're totally destitute. You're worthless. I took you from the dunghill. Uh-oh, but where's he going to put us? But now, oh hallelujah, in Christ Jesus, not in yourself, ye who are sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That is how simple it is. That man again that I think about, it's been on my heart, if we just see the blood of Jesus, it's by faith. It's power that will overcome everything. Overcame death. What could be harder than overcoming death? There's going to be a world following after a man that comes back to life. There's got to be something about overcoming that death. Now, he's going to be allowed to do that. That's the Antichrist we're talking about. But it wasn't hard for God. It wasn't at all. And his son called on his name and says, Father, help me to do these things. Enable me to do these things. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And old Lazarus come walking like a mummy and through there, scaring everybody half to death. And again, as so many times I said, if he didn't say his name Lazarus, everybody would have come walking forth. All them tombs opening up, huh? But that's our Lord and Savior. Anything hard for him? Put it in perspective. You got personal problems. You got kids that you're dealing with. You got a marriage you're dealing with. Finances, whatever it be. Well, I don't know about that. I think the situation I'm in would be harder than bringing me back from the dead. This is what we're dealing with. And he rose again. And every power that was out there was trying to keep him in that grave. But they didn't realize that there was no power but from God. There was no power but of God. And that's who loves you. Greater things than you see me do, you'll do. You believe that? I do. I do. I believe in the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he can heal anything. I believe he already healed everything that I'll even ever ask him about. I may not see it the way that I think it should be, but I know he's healed it. I know he's perfectly made intercession for that in my life. I just pray by his grace. I have the faith to believe that. And you'll say, well, Jesse, you're just brainwashed. You just think that everything is just working out for your good, don't you? Absolutely. He told me it is. And you know why? Because by his grace, I love him. Because by his grace, you love him. That's the key. That's the secret. Is by his grace, he saw that you'd love him. And by loving him, he gave you a promise that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I want divine providence in my life. I want the will of God in my life. I don't want to be flopping around in allowance. We've talked about that. He'll allow you to do anything. He's not going to force you. But by his love, Ask Him to get a hold of you and say, Lord, let me have the faith to believe how You love me. Quit squandering my life. Get on with the forever. Get rid of this riffraff that's going on in my life. Talked about that young man with the drama. We don't need any drama. We got all the drama we want right here. Hallelujah. But we draw nigh to Him because of His blood. There's no respecter of persons now. There's no advantage to anyone. They're all in Christ. And I love that in verse 8 where it says, but behold. Behold, pay attention, listen. Adhere to this. Wake up. Marvel at His grace. The old covenant was ceremony. And that's what most of Christianity is dwelling in today, is ceremony. Christianity is dwelling in ceremony. What do you think entertainment is? It's ceremony. It's a different type of ceremony. We're going to sing for, what, an hour and a half until we work something up? That's a ceremony. I don't have to be just lighting candles here and doing different things with my hands and all of that kind of thing to be in ceremony. It's of the flesh. So God's getting away from. This is personal. This is personal. I don't have to go to the high priest anymore. I can walk right into the throne room. Acknowledge your Savior who loves you. Quit insulting God and thinking that something of myself or somebody else is going to do it for me. It's been done. The foundation's been laid. Now get on with the riches. That's what He wants in our lives. Get out of ceremony. And you can be in ceremony even being in this church. You can. It's not being preached here. But what has you? Does the grace of God just run through your life? The love of God is the Holy Spirit just working His masterpiece and painting that love of God all over your heart. I love that vision. I love that thought. The precious Holy Spirit just taking that paintbrush and just throwing it all over me. That's what we're after by the grace of God. Hallelujah. The old covenant was ceremony. It was earthly, of the material. It wasn't a spiritual or a heavenly. Its sanctuary was on earth. It was made by human hands. These were only shadows and types of the everlasting. But the supernatural, the final covenant, is in Christ. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God. And they shall be to me a people. I love this. I think about Moses. And I think about those children of Israel. And they're walking across. You know, they're coming out of Egypt. And you know, they're marching. And, you know, all the stuff that they, you know, denying the Lord after 3 days. And every time they'd get into a problem, oh, we should be back in Egypt. But I thought how precious and how moving that is to know that those were His people. And I remember for a time as a Christian, I thought, oh, I'd love to have been a Jew. I'd love to be a child. I mean, that I was God's people. I was thinking, how foolish. I am God's people. I'm more God's people than any people ever been. And He wants to make me His wife. Now, what kind of people you think that would be? You have to be pretty special to be a wife. Oh, and that's what the Lord wants for us. Hallelujah. But there's no more of law, but it's grace. And He puts it in our minds and in our hearts. It's a free gift to all who believe. And again, this is so personal. I was thinking again, the great I am. And so many times I feel inadequate about things. I wish I understood things a little bit more, faster, or different things. Sometimes get a little impatient. It always concerns me because I know what's going to happen. It's called tribulation. Told you about my upbringing. There's a lot of tribulation there. Mr. Impatient. Call me nervous. Never mind. I'll tell you all the things they call me. But again, it's personal because this verse is a promise that the Lord has given. And it's specifically and only to the child of God. If you read this verse, this is truly only to the child of God. And how awesome, again, that the overwhelming to think that the I Am, the great I Am, would put His mind, hallelujah, His thoughts His laws. This could only happen, as you'll see in Philippians 2:5. And I will read that for you here, instead of just quoting it. But Philippians 2:5, if you turn there. It says, "Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And I had to tell you, I thought a little bit about this. This mind, this new creation that we have in us. We have this. We have this access. We're a new creation. Okay? We can have the mind of Christ. And in a sense, we really do have the mind of Christ as we have the new creation. Now, we may not yield to it. We may not yield to it. We may be in unbelief, as we talked about. Belief is just right there, but I can stand right here and just be in unbelief. Belief is just a step away of faith. And it's immediate. And it's in the throne room. And there's mercy all around. And there's grace abundant. And it will answer and fill any problem, any need you'll ever have. But again, by the grace of God, it's belief. It's just as a child, a baby, when it's born, it has a mind. So as in Christ, when we become that new creation, we have a mind. But yet it's even better because we can have the same mind. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ. And I have to admit, when I stepped back and I was thinking about this again in the office today, I thought, Lord, there's no way I have the mind of Christ. there just couldn't be. And then it was like, well, how do you think you love? Was that you? I said, no. How do you think you're able to do this? And I said, no. I said, I understand, Lord, it's all of you. Anything by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Any good thing is of Him. Anything. And it's just a marvel what He's taken. I know from my life. I know who I am. And I'm so thankful what He's taken me from. But if we will completely yield and draw nigh to Him. And as we read in Hebrews 10:22, you may mark note of this. We draw nigh to Him with full assurance of faith. It says, draw nigh to God in full assurance of faith. And that's when we have His mind. What do you think Christ did on this earth all the time? Was He playing around with His Father? Or did He have absolute confidence in His Father that it would be done? That He had absolute confidence in His Father that Thy will be done. No matter what it is, Your timing, Lord, is perfect. And I'll believe that. And He empowered Jesus Christ. He empowered Jesus Christ just as today He can empower us. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? That's the power you have access to. Oh, hallelujah. If we would seize that, what we could become. This is the difference again of just the mind. We'll go on to the next. In that the heart, He can put it in there too. And the heart renders affection and will. See, the mind enlightens. It understands things. But the heart is love. And it's where His will. If we can understand things in our mind, we can read the Word of God a lot and a lot and all these different things. But if we don't have love, that's where it's talking about this heart. It needs to work affectionately in us. It's got to go through us. Hallelujah. But it's the affection and will. And in the heart is where the love is. And it's where His will and His effectual working of truth and love takes place. Truth and a loving, willing heart can truly go all the way with Christ. Truth and love. It's not all truth and it's not all love. It's truth in love. And it keeps working together. It's balanced. It's in moderation. And it's all about us. Thank you, Jesus. And He is our God, it says. And we are His people. Again, better than the Jews, even with Moses, as I used to think as a kid. But our citizenship is in heaven right now. We are strangers or aliens on this earth, as the Word of God tells us. This is just a dwelling place. Don't get caught up in it. This is just a dwelling place. It's temporal. As Scott was talking about, stringing out the history of the world, of all the we were an inch, I guess, on the history of man, Scott, it was. And, you know, the history of man, as they say, isn't, you know, very long. How old this world is, I don't know. Lord didn't tell me. He could have made it look 5 billion years old. He could have made it look 10 trillion years old. He made it look as old and be as old as He needed it to be. Okay, He's magnificent. He does it marvelously. But that's the precious thing. But it's just a moment in time. But that moment in time is the greatest, most special moment there ever could be. He sent His Son for that moment in time.
He sent His Son. He loved so much. He didn't die. God didn't die. He sent His Son. I would gladly die for my son. My natural sons, I'd die for either one of them. As bad as they can be, I'd still die for either one of them. It's true. In a moment. I wouldn't even think about it. But would I give one of them up? Oh, man, no. God freely gave because He's so loved. Put that in your perspective. I can't imagine. And for us, for this world that despised His Son and spit on Him, and what we've done and who we are apart from God, that's how He loved. That's how He loved us. Praise Him. I'd like to finish, but I think we're going to have to take too much time. Let me finish this last verse up. But again, just a dwelling place. A tent. It's our temporal home. And the Lord encouraged me, and I pray encourages you, to not get attached to this place. Don't sink your roots down here too far. I think about families that have these heritages. And somebody, you know, some here might know what I'm talking about. But, oh, it's been passed down from generation to generation. Or I'm, you know, from, you know, my heritage is, you know, I'm fifth generation, blah, blah. And that's what it is, blah, blah. It really is. It means nothing. I'm thankful, you know, whatever you are. I'm glad that you're happy or thankful that you came from whatever it was or that you had it. But the Lord tells us to not have our affections on the things of this world. No matter how good it may be. No matter how hard your great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother or whoever it was worked for something that gave to you or whatever it is. Precious, wonderful. Don't get caught up in it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. There's no respecter of persons with God. We are all the same in His eyes. Precious. He wants you to have His best. He don't want you to just get saved. He wants you to have His absolute 100% best. He wants to stick you right in the throne, right next to His Son. That's the marvel. That's what keeps us going on. I think as Christians, as the Word of God tells us, without a vision we perish. Without a vision, you're going to perish. If your eye truly is not on the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you're going to perish. Your vision will be sleepy. You won't even have one. You'll be spiritually dead. As we talked about food, you know, I can't go about 3-4 hours and I start feeling a little wobbly. Thank God my metabolism's still a little fast. But how much more so even with the spiritual? Prayer. Coming to Bible study. This is precious time. I'm so thankful to have this time. I'm so thankful to have this time with you. Each and every one of you. This is awesome. Because God's here. The Holy Spirit's here. He's speaking to each and every one of us. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. We have compassion for one another. We run alone, but we're seated together. And I love to see my brothers and sisters in running towards God's best. I'm so thankful that God has so encouraged me on really the last, you know, so many years of my life, but especially the last 3 months. Like I told you, I might be going into my 88th day of ministry. But what a passion. And it can happen in a moment. And it's not calling to a position that we think of, whether it's in church or in the world or whatever. It's taking my place in the body of Christ. Taking my place under Him. That He'll perfect that. He'll perform it. He'll complete that work in you. And that's the greatest thing that could ever happen, in yielding to Him. Because truly we are, in this 10th verse, you are a great somebody to the Lord. And that's what it's all about. Be the great somebody that He has made you in the eyes of God. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord, again for this time. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that your Holy Spirit does speak to us, Lord. Help us again to have open heart to receive your word. Again, help us to put off the thoughts that might be deterring us from going on with you, Lord. Whatever's pulling at our life, anybody sitting here tonight that's being defeated in some way, shape, or form by the enemy, Lord, let them reckon it dead. Let them reckon it dead. That's as simple as it is. You can deliver. You're the enabler, Lord Jesus. And in you it is finished and complete. We thank you for it. In your precious name, amen.